Morning. I was a big fan of Dukes of Hazzard growing up. Anybody Dukes of Hazzard fans? Nobody. Okay. Okay, a few of you. Okay. We got a minute. One time I was watching a Dukes of Hazzard episode, and one of the worst things that can happen in a Dukes of Hazzard episode is they get into a situation. Boss Hogg is coming after him, and General Lee is jumping over something. You don't know if they're going to make it, and it stops and says, "To be continued." Right? And I remember my parents didn't let me watch the next episode, and I still think there's some emotional scarring there that's happened. But there's this sense of the resolution, right? I want it to be resolved. I want to know how this is going to end. And this is really what we're talking about in Luke. Okay? Malachi was the last prophet to write. And for 400 years, God was silent. To be continued. And they were waiting generation after generation. But before that, in Genesis, and this is a great way to think about it, so we're going to rewind a little bit. Genesis 1, God creates the world, sets everything in motion, creates mankind, paradise, everything is as it should be. All of our longings are satisfied. Amazing. Genesis 3, we sin, we fall. Adam falls. The world breaks up. We are in chaos. We see this chaos in the news right now, right? Open up CNN on your phone. You'll see chaos. It's a broken world that we live in. And there's broken hearts of people in our lives. But in Genesis 3:15, there's a promise that there will be someone who will come, a seed of a woman. And remember, this is kind of a strange phrase because a woman has no seed. The male has the seed. So this will be the woman will have the seed. And there will be a woman who will crush the bruise the serpent's head. So it was a prophecy about what we're talking about today. About Jesus being born. So Israel, thousands of years goes through and they fail miserably to be God's people, right? And we get to see firsthand they don't do a good job of it, right? And this moment in Luke, this is when things come together. This is when the episode, God starts speaking again and he does it in a powerful way. So if you have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. And let me read verse 26 to 39. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and over his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child will be born, and he will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So Elizabeth was 6 months into the pregnancy. 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. I, to be honest, I've read over this passage many times. Every Christmas, right? We read over this passage. And I think I kind of take it lightly in some ways. This is a miracle. Okay? God breaks this 400-year silence by first going to Elizabeth and having her get pregnant in the holy city, right? In the temple. Her husband's a priest. In contrast, Jesus is born in Nazareth, Galilee. It was probably mostly Gentiles, not Jews. Nazareth was one of those towns, it was kind of like an area, you know, like Bixby Knowles. Okay? Or some area where it's, if you're not from that area, you wouldn't even know where it was. Okay? So this is how Jesus shows up. So, verse 26. Gabriel came to the city in Galilee named Nazareth. So, right from the beginning, we know that this is a divine act, right? An angel appears. I don't know what it would be like to have an angel appear. But every time I see it in Scripture, they're afraid. Even the good angels, they're afraid. Right here, we've got to stop for a second and say, do I really believe this? That there are angels? Really? I mean, really believe it. That there are angels. And that an angel could show up and give someone a message. So a divine start to Jesus' birth. In an unknown town, Nazareth. Then God chooses a person to carry out the task in this miraculous birth. He chooses Mary, 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So in this culture, you would get married or betrothed to someone, and then you would wait a year before consummating the marriage. Usually the ages of the probably the ages of Joseph and Mary were probably 13 and 14 years old. It seems crazy to me, but that's how they did it back then. So you've got this waiting period where Mary is waiting, anticipating, consummating her marriage with Joseph. And there's a little wrinkle in the story. An angel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. Okay, now in this culture, that meant if she was unfaithful and she had a baby, she was supposed to be killed as an adulteress. It's important that Jesus came from the line of David, from Joseph, and from Mary. The angel told Mary that God found favor with her in verse 28. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, this word favored one is used over and over in the Bible. It's used with Noah. When God approaches Noah, he says, the favored one, God favors you. It has nothing to do with the person. It's not like God sees the person and is like, I kind of like that guy. I'm gonna do something cool through him. It's God's grace that comes to somebody, that comes to Mary. Okay? But she was, verse 29, greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Favor with God. Why was she afraid? Well, she's afraid because this is a divine encounter with an angel. And the angel just told her that she's going to birth a baby that's divine. That's pretty scary. You will conceive in your womb and you will name the baby Jesus. Jesus means one who saves. At this point, Mary had no idea who she was giving birth to. But the angel clarifies, Joseph was David's descendant and Mary was David's descendant. Both of them gave Jesus' royal heritage. Mary gave it to him through blood by birth. Joseph gave it to him through rule by adoption. Look at what the angel says about who Jesus is in verse 32 and 33. Jesus will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High and the Lord God, and to him the throne of the Father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Okay, his kingdom there will be no end. So you can see why maybe the disciples, when Jesus died on the cross, they were a little bit confused. Because the prophecy was that the kingdom would have no end. But part of the reason that the angel is saying this is because he's giving them a prophecy about future events and present close events. So how they saw prophecy was, if you were to think about it this way, this angel is announcing this prophecy, and this is how the prophecy is seen. Right? The kingdom will have no end. When is that? That's when Christ comes back again, right? But he can't see that right now. But who is this God? Who is this God? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. But look at the description. This is what really got to me. The description of this baby. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is God's people. And his kingdom there will be no end. He will rule the earth. That's pretty amazing. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I thought that was a weird question to ask. So he explains, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child will be born and be called Holy, the Son of God. So just in this short passage, we see just how exclusive Jesus is. Right? In the Mormon religion, Jesus is an angel. He's a created being. He's an angel. In Islam, he's a great prophet, great teacher. But that's not what this says, right? This is a divine moment when an angel comes from God and says, this baby is the greatest person who's ever lived. It's God himself. Fully God, fully man. It's God in the flesh. At this point, I really had to ask myself, do I believe this? Do I believe that God is the Most High in my life? Or am I able to manage my life without Him? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born and he will be called Holy. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. So not only does God have an angel sent to Mary, but he's gracious enough to have a baby come into Elizabeth's life and have a person to confirm what's happening, right? I mean, can you imagine after seeing this angel and hearing this and then going to sleep that night and waking up the next morning and going, did that happen? Did that really happen? But here comes Elizabeth, who's been barren, couldn't have a baby in her old age, and she gets to see Mary. And Mary is, she's reminded of the plan of God for her. She's not left alone. Verse 35. I'm sorry. Verse 37. How can this woman, how can Mary do this? Be a virgin? How can Elizabeth, who's barren, who can never have a baby, have a baby? Here's the key, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. But that phrase, nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? I struggle to believe that. I have things in my life that I think, I don't know if this is ever going to change. I've been wronged. I've been hurt. Right? Is our situation ever going to change? Is that person ever going to come to faith, come to know Jesus? Nothing is impossible with God. I think a lot of times, at least for myself, I try to take it on myself, right? I try to handle the situation. Instead of accessing the holy God who's on the throne, Jesus Christ. Right? So nothing is impossible with God. So we have a divine messenger, Gabriel. We have Mary with this impossible, seems impossible task. But she submitted to God's word and the angel departed. Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see. God didn't give her all the information, did he? The messenger didn't tell Mary, your son's going to go to the cross and die. Okay? But that's going to happen. And Mary's faith is going to have to grow, just like all of us. So what does this tell us about God? What does this story tell us about God? One, that God, Jesus, is the only God. This is unpopular in our culture, right? This is why most people were killed in the early church, right? It's because they believed that Jesus was the exclusive authority. He was the ultimate authority because he has the most power. He's the one who rules everything. He's sovereign. But he's the only one. I had in our growth group, we had a gentleman come in to our growth group, and he just a college student, and he uses the power of gems. I've never heard of this before, but he uses the power of gems to control things in his life and help things happen in his life. He also reads from the Torah a little bit. He reads from the Bible a little bit. He really likes Jesus' teaching. That's popular today, right? Jesus is seen as a good guy, a good teacher. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he is God. It's exclusive. But it's so popular today to include him in with all these other phonies, right? Jesus is the only way to God. The story of Mary reminds us of the amazing grace of God in sending his son to redeem this broken world. Think about how amazing it is that a baby born in a no-name stable is going to redeem everything that is wrong with our world and everything that is wrong in our lives. He will, but not yet. It's coming. But it shows God's grace, doesn't it? Shows God's grace, meaning a gift, to send His only Son for us. Now, most of us in this room have prayed the prayer. We've said, Jesus, we need you in our life. We're Christians. But remember, even though we have the Holy Spirit and we are Christians, followers of Jesus, we still are broken. Right? We still have brokenness in our life. And so we live with this tension of being forgiven and having the power to overcome brokenness, but still being very broken. That's why we need each other. That's why we need pray to Jesus. Because nothing is impossible with Jesus. He's on the throne. He's got all the power. Sometimes in church, we like to study the Bible and kind of stay away from our personal lives. And nothing bad about studying the Bible. But we don't like to talk about our brokenness, about the stuff that's happening in our life, about our struggles. But this is where God shows Himself. What does this tell us about man's relationship to God? We are broken and we need a Savior. Right? We are broken and we need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. God loves to partner with people. God is a communal God. He exists as a community, as a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He could have just had Jesus appear fully grown, right, in the temple. Hey, what? I'm here. Let's start to fix things. But what does he do? He involves a 13-year-old girl. He involves a Joseph. I mean, he involves so many people in this plan. Why does he do that? Because God is a communal God. He loves to partner and use people. Not because they're great, but because He is gracious. Even in our brokenness, He can use us. God is a God of relationship, even if our lives are messy. He uses broken marriages. He uses the things in our lives that are private that no one knows about. He uses the church. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church. The church is a bunch of broken pieces put together by Jesus, because nothing is impossible with Jesus. God is looking for willing people, but not perfect people. Mary's brokenness comes later when she doubts Jesus as He begins to proclaim the kingdom. She wasn't perfect. But what was key about Mary? She was willing. Mary knew she had sin in her life. She wasn't waiting until she got that sin out of her life so then she could serve God. She was willing in her brokenness to serve God. So what does this story tell us about what we should do? Right? Because we can't just read the Bible and walk away with, that was cool. But what do we actually need to do with what we're hearing? One thing is to live, as the church, we need to live our lives as though nothing is impossible because God is with us. That's always the promise. God is with us. Have you lost hope in something in your life? Have you given up on someone? Given up on something? If we're going to be a light to the nations, we need to live as though everything is possible for the Lord to do. But this comes from us asking Him, right? Asking God, God, I need Your help. We're all broken. It's okay to admit it. How many of you are broken? Yeah, we're broken. Not to celebrate that, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change. So we need to trust God. We need to live our lives as though everything is possible with God. We need to trust God with the information that we know, the information that He gives us. Mary didn't know everything. She knew she may face persecution for being pregnant. She didn't know she would watch her son die on a cross, but she was willing to obey with what God gave her, even if the pieces weren't all there. Has God asked you to do something, but you kind of look at the situation and go, I can't see how that's going to work out. Nothing is impossible with God. Has God asked you to repair a relationship and you feel like, I don't want to go repair that relationship because I know what they're going to do. Nothing is impossible with God. Because that's us being the church, living as if nothing is impossible with God. I'd like to take some time to invite people up to pray. I think one of the things about this passage, about Mary being sent into the world, God sending Mary into this world, it's such a drastic missionary move to save us. Right? And to help us. And we know who He is. We know that He's on His throne right now. And nothing is impossible with God. If you've got something that we can pray for, is there any elders in here? Luke, I see. Maybe the elders can come forward and we can just pray for you. Okay? Even if you don't want to tell us what it is, just say, I'll pray for you. Okay? So as the music ends, I think that's Scott, is that how we're doing it? As the music ends, just come forward and we'll be up here and we can pray. Because nothing's impossible with God. That should give us a lot of hope. Right? If the church can live as though nothing is impossible with God, what would that church look like? We're in the process of adopting someone from China, a baby from China. And there are so many things that I have no idea how they're going to come together. But God made it clear for us to do it. Our church has always been good with kids. God has blessed us with children's ministries. Right? VBS, Awana, Gospel Project. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen how kids are growing. What if our church, our whole church, just started adopting people? Started adopting kids? Now that would be a children's ministry. Right? Nothing is impossible with God. Let me pray. God, I'm struck by Your holiness. Your separateness, Your glory. And I want to live, and I think we all want to live, as though nothing is impossible for You, and You're with us. You're with us, and nothing is impossible for you. God, help us not to rely on ourselves to be independent, but to be dependent people. Help us to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.